The Chris Perillo Show is brought to you by Microsoft Windows Media. Download Windows Media Player 10 at Microsoft.com/Windows Media.
It's in good hands. We're doing some great stuff. I mean, you probably saw some of the press around the latest release, what we called our 10.1 release, but was really sort of our final come out of beta release. It's just been kind of exploding like crazy, and it's been a lot of fun.
So, wait a minute, what kind of new features did you add? Is there like a change log somewhere?
Yeah, I mean, I posted a bunch of things to my own space about things that we've added and things that we've kind of fixed. I mean, this release was really to try to button up the quality in a way that we hadn't necessarily done for the beta. We did as much work as we could in the beta, but we really wanted to get things out there and have people playing with it. So it was really buttoning up the quality, but we did add a bunch of sort of low-impact features as well, things like a bunch of new themes that you can apply to your space, and we did some RSS improvements. We fixed some kind of nitpicky things in comments where we aren't limiting the size of the comments anymore. Just kind of a lot of things that people were complaining about that we knew we needed to fix, we rolled into this release.
And this was just released this week?
Yep. Last Tuesday, I think it was.
Oh, okay.
Or Wednesday.
Because I know I went in there to my space, the first space ever, and it's, well, because it's 0000001. That's the name that I had to go with, because, of course, when I started my space, it was, like, at a time where it hadn't officially launched.
Right.
And so I had to go with that.
Yeah, that's how we first met.
I couldn't
get
it to work.
Lots of emails going back and forth about why it wasn't working.
Well, and you know, I've used it in a very rudimentary way. I've got a alias that I was trying to explain this to you earlier. It's like just one email alias, and then within that alias, I have all these other email addresses that the alias goes to. So It goes to the Spaces address, my Blogware address, and then the Flickr address, every place that allows me to post photos online, essentially, like where I have accounts, I'm just sending content there.
Is it just a test, or is it, you know, backup, or
no,
just for fun?
It's kind of just a little bit of both. I was surprised. I actually had one comment from another Spaces member on one particular image that I took.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured I would get a space. I figured I would get a comment because the image, the title of the image was "Are you the Keymaster?" I think, and because I was taking a picture of all these keys that we went to get duplicates for our house, and took all these. I took this picture and I uploaded it, and that's what I put. And then someone made a comment. But the only thing was, I could tell the username for the comment, but I couldn't click through to get more information on that username. Is that always the case?
It is right now. I mean, right now the comments are basically name. And URL, you know, associated with a name or an email address, which is optional. The name defaults to what the global nickname that we have in MSN, but it can be you can put in any name and any URL in there as well. I mean, right now it's we don't actually link back from the information in comments to profile or any other information about the user unless the user inserts a URL by hand.
Okay.
And of course, as you can imagine, that's something we are looking at doing.
Well, no, and that makes sense from a privacy standpoint, and I imagine MSN has been pretty proactive about that.
Mm-hmm.
So you're actually running your personal blog through Spaces, eating your own dog food.
Yep.
And, you know, any reaction from the community, positive or negative that way, I mean, for doing that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think people, I mean, get a lot of comments on my space, on my blog specifically, about some of the things that, you know, maybe pre-announcing something or chatting about things and asking for feedback on different features. And I think people are really receptive to that. And they know that not just myself, but a lot of people on our team, and even people who aren't on our team but are Microsoft employees, are actually asking for feedback on the product and interested in learning about how different people are using the product. And so it's kind of interesting because we're working on a product that is used for communication, and so it would be ridiculous if we weren't using it for communication.
So, you know? Are you going to be posting to your blog from Mexico?
Probably not, because we don't have cell phone coverage, a computer, or even a phone.
Oh.
So it's literally in the boonies.
Now, that's deliberate.
Yeah, exactly. There's no TV. There's nothing to do but go to the beach, play shuffleboard, and if there's an emergency, we'll find out when we get back.
Is that a rule that you set forth?
No. It's been that way for hundreds of years at this club.
So you
just kind of go with it.
So the club then definitely predates the internet.
Yes.
It's pretty exclusive.
Yep. It is.
In that sense. So, I had a chance to play with Spaces, but I hadn't really seen much content coming from it. Are the people who communicate, and when I say that, the blogs that I tend to read, they're hosted elsewhere.
Right.
Seldom read all MSN Spaces blogs. I seldom read Yahoo 360, and of course they just launched as well, although I think you're newer than 360. And then I seldom read LiveJournal blogs.
But what do you mean by newer?
Like, MSN Spaces has been around for a little longer than 360.
Okay, right.
So you're newer in that sense. Although, I'd talk about a branding screw-up. I don't know if this has gone around yet, but Xbox is officially, the next version is Xbox 360. So, with Yahoo 360 and Xbox 360, it just seems kind of, is this the next big thing that people are going to be naming things?
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. I didn't know it was officially announced, but I saw a lot of rumors about it online.
I caught something in one of my RSS feeds that said that it was official. So I'm only going off of a headline that I saw, but it would definitely be interesting in terms of branding, how everything or those two things, major things, being labeled 360. But there's
right,
no plans
right.
on Spaces 360 or anything.
Nothing. No, I mean, we're pretty much stuck with the MSN Spaces brand right now. I don't think we can get away with calling it something else.
Well, that's not necessarily a bad thing either. You've got how many billions of users now?
The official number is 4.5 million, but that number was announced before our release. And so we noticed a dramatic, and when I say dramatic, I mean sickly dramatic, overwhelmingly dramatic increase in signups and in updated Spaces in just the past week since the release. And I can't give specifics, but it was
sure.
It was enough to blow our expectations out of the water.
Wow. Now, is most of the content then, these people who sign up for Spaces, are you tracking how frequently they're being used, or are they being used just like to reserve their space and then nothing's being posted?
Well, we monitor some of that, and we have seen that the number of updated Spaces is pretty consistent with what we see as standard in the industry, and we think that that's probably we're hoping obviously to improve that. We really want someone's space to be a place where they spend a lot of time and they're using it primarily for sharing photos and sharing thoughts and information about themselves with close friends and family. However, I can go a week or two without updating my space, and I think for people, especially for people who are using it to share photos, you could go easily a month without uploading new photos, right? But the second you do upload those photos, you do know that your friends and family get a notification in MSN Messenger, or they might get a notification in their RSS reader or something like that. So you know that it's not going anywhere, and that even if a month goes by and you do upload photos, technically that might be an inactive space because maybe a month or two, maybe even 2 months go by, but someone is actually using that to share photos with a core set of people that are important to them. And so those numbers are all sort of hard to really understand and grasp.
Now, I've got a Flickr, a download, like a utility that I drag and drop pictures into, and I can press a button, I can tag the photos with any keywords I want, and then press a button, it automatically resizes and then uploads. Why isn't there a similar tool for MSN Spaces, or have I not seen it?
So we do have a photo upload tool. It's actually an ActiveX control, so it's not a downloadable XE. But we do have a photo upload tool, which you can do editing, you can do brightness, contrast, you can do all sorts of cool stuff, rotation, and it does do the auto compression and resizing on upload.
So
if you were to go into the blog or go into the photo album and upload a photo, that's when the tool gets installed. It's the same one used by Hotmail for attaching a photo to an email.
Okay. So what about then, and I referred to the alias that I've set up, you allow people to set up their own an email address to post to their space, but
yes.
That only, you only give one address that posts to just it seems to be the blog portion. So I've been trying to send photos specifically to the photo section of my space, and I can't seem to do that.
Right. That was something that was deliberate for the first release, but it's something we're absolutely evaluating is, you know, posting to different photo albums and things like that, because I mean, personally, I want it because I don't want a blog entry every time I take a photo and want to
yeah.
share it with somebody. So that's definitely something that we're looking into. It's just a question of how do you do that through email? I mean, obviously, a rich client would be a better way to do that, but you know, that's all TBD.
And what about notifications on new comments?
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely something that we're interested in doing. So there's nothing to announce at this time, but I wouldn't be surprised if very soon you were to see something like that, because it's something that we're definitely interested in providing more, you know, reasons to return to spaces, reasons to realize that new content has been updated, and sort of driving a little bit more of that traffic back to the space so that you can get more engagement. I mean, one of the things that's so much fun about it is to see whenever you post something, and this is just blogging in general, whenever you post something, just to sort of see what people are saying about the things that you're posting, even if they're personal, even if they're photos, and you really want to start that discussion. Because what's the fun if there's no discussion? It's just a history. And it's kind of, you know, it's just a breadcrumb trail of the things that you've done for yourself. I mean, we really want to start that discussion with people that you care about.
Now, when you say very soon that we can see these new features kind of being unrolled, is this a very soon in Microsoft ease? And I say that because it seems that product releases seem to be staggered throughout the years, and it takes a while for an idea to come to fruition.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've probably seen with MSN more so probably in the last 18 to 24 months that we're really trying to release things a lot more rapidly than traditional box software. And so, you know, Spaces, the beta release of Spaces went out the 1st or 2nd of December, and we had probably four or five releases before our final release, which were just kind of fixing things, you know, updating things slowly, adding the RSS button, things like that. And then our final release was just recently in April. So it was a few months, and we added a good number of new features and new fixes. So we're really trying to not get into the 3-year, 5-year, you know, product cycle, of course. I mean, we're an internet application, and that holds true for most of MSN. I mean, you've seen MSN Search rapidly introduce new features over the course of the last year. So, I mean, just across the board, we're really trying to push that.
How big's the team?
Probably should not talk about that. The team it's not large.
Okay.
I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, that's fine. I didn't necessarily know how many individuals, but it seems to be moving along at a pretty good clip. So I can only imagine that whoever is on the team, it's a streamlined process that they're working through.
Yeah, I mean, we're learning from best practices within MSN, and we're also, you know, introducing some of our own kind of learnings into it. So, and we're all, I mean, the one great thing about the Spaces team in general is that we're all just incredibly passionate about what we do. So, I mean, you're not going to find really one person on this team that doesn't love, you know, personal expression, sharing, internet applications, things like that. So, just across the board, when we have great talent, we have just absolutely great people. So.
So are you also responsible for the Start.com project?
No, I mean, we do talk to the Start.com folks regularly, but we're not actively responsible for it. We do some code sharing and things like that. But
oh, so you're not necessarily autonomous, kind of sharing the ups and downs of product development then with other teams?
Well, I think everyone has something to learn, right, and throughout this whole process. And there are teams that are more experienced and less experienced. I mean, the MSN Spaces team and the Start.com team are relatively new teams, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they don't have the experience shipping internet software. So I think, I mean, across the board, we really are trying to leverage learnings, right? And so I think that's probably common sense for a lot of people who build software. But in a big organization, sometimes it's more difficult, and so we're doing our best to make sure that that's happening across the board.
Is this the first project you've had then at Microsoft?
Me personally?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I was working on the back end platforms the SOAP APIs and the databases and things like that for Hotmail, for MSN Messenger, and for Spaces for about a year and a half before coming to the Spaces team.
So now obviously, I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but is this a little more exciting than working on SOAP?
You know, they're both exciting for different reasons. I mean, working on a platform piece, you get to interact with a ton of different teams, and you get to sort of be that single point of contact for a bunch of different teams on features, on projects, on things like that. And so I really, really enjoyed that, and the team was great, and it was a lot of fun. And I do actually really like web services, so I mean, it kind of sounds a little dry, but it was a great learning experience. And now moving over to more of the user experience side, it's just a different experience. I mean, I'm enjoying it a little bit more only because I'm more customer facing now. But then again, you know, you look at somebody like Dare, and you've probably read his blog at times. You know, he's on the back end team, and he's incredibly customer facing. So the rules are changing as well. But I do enjoy user experience.
One of the things that popped up on my radar this week, and I actually noticed this when I logged into my Spaces account recently, I actually changed my color to just everything was white on my space, or I think as white as possible. But I noticed at the top there is an ad for Volvo.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to have caused small stink in certain circles. Specifically Henry Copeland over at Blog Ads, and mm-hmm. you know, for whatever it's worth, I do run Blog Ads on my sites, and it works out pretty well, and I couldn't really figure out why he was kind of, not necessarily put off, but had you had a chance to read that particular entry, or do you know what?
I don't think I did.
Okay.
I mean, I usually catch those things, but this week has been pretty crazy, so I don't know if I read that one.
It's no big deal. It's not a huge deal. My question, I mean, in terms of that you hadn't been able to read it to this point, my question is, do you know how that kind of came together, that particular...
The Volvo deal?
Yeah, the Volvo deal.
You know, I wasn't involved in that process, so anything that I would say about it would probably be incorrect, so I probably shouldn't. I do know that, you know, you've probably seen the quotes about Volvo being really interested in getting their brand in front of people in a non-traditional way, and I think that that's really something that Spaces is able to provide as kind of, you know, a new and interesting way to advertise.
So then you're not involved with any of the marketing aspects of it?
No, I'm pretty much solely on the product development side. I mean, we obviously interface with marketing, with PR, product management, but really the development side is very specific to building the products, doing the feature trade-offs, and things like that.
Well, I can tell you Henry's perspective, and Henry is Copeland, the guy who pretty much runs Blog Ads, or at least one of them who does, was making note that either Volvo wasn't talking specifically to Blog Ads, and they'd gone after a couple of other markets. He was also making note of the fact that MSN Spaces, while you do limit the words that may be used in a URL, you're not necessarily monitoring content. And Volvo ads show up on pages that could be considered relatively untargeted and questionable.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think I don't want to speak for Volvo, and I certainly don't want to speak for our PR team, but I mean, Volvo was fully aware of that.
Okay.
I mean, it's a risk in any sort of personal content, right? Any sort of advertising on personal content that you don't have control over the content. But at the same time, it's a calculated risk, and it's something that I would imagine advertisers would be interested in, primarily because of the scale of the things we're talking about, and because the content is separated from the personal content. I mean, for a lot of reasons, we want to make sure that advertising does not invade the personal space.
Well, yeah, it was pretty unobtrusive. It's just a tiny little graphic right up there at the top of the page.
Right.
So you haven't seen any numbers yet, or I suppose it'd be a little too early to tell.
Numbers on?
The response that Volvo may have been getting. Or if you're just product development, you really don't have a chance to see any of that?
We're usually looped in, but it's not. I probably wouldn't be the first person that would see it.
Okay. Those numbers are always interesting to me, and you know, especially when you see advertisers embracing something as new as this. And of course, Yahoo, as I just kind of said, is relatively new into the game, with their 360 service. Have you had a chance to play with Yahoo 360 yet?
Yeah, I have. I have.
What do you think? I mean, just or can you tell me what you think?
Well, I mean, I'll be careful. I have a lot of respect for Yahoo as a company.
Yeah.
I always have. I mean, my start page is my Yahoo, and I've been clear about that on my space because I've been using my Yahoo for a long, long time, and I just cannot, I can't leave it. So a lot of respect for Yahoo, and I love the fact that they're getting into the game, and they're introducing new and interesting ways for Yahoo users to share content. I think that that's really interesting. I think some of the features of Yahoo 360 are really compelling, and other aspects of it can be lacking. And of course, that's just what happens when you ship a V1 product. So I was a little surprised to see the lack of customization and personalization, quite honestly. But I think that the way that they did the social networking pieces was great, and I think that the way that they tie in Yahoo Photos and things like that is also great. So.
Are there any future enhancements then with MSN Spaces, you know, walking the direction of a social network of sorts? And I know I've seen, like, the MyWallop, which I believe came out of Microsoft Research.
Yeah, it did.
Any chances of tying into that possibly? Or if that's still in beta, I don't even know.
Well, Wallop is really, I mean, it's a trial, and it's something that Microsoft, you know, social computing, people interested in social computing are working on social computing software. I think people are learning a large amount from the Wallop trials, and we meet with research all the time about Wallop. And Wallop is fantastic. I don't know if you've had a chance to use it, but it really is a whole different way of experiencing personal expression and sharing and things like that. And while I can't speak to future direction of MSN Spaces, You can imagine that we're very interested in tying people together in interesting ways.
Well, I've used it before. I try to use all these services at least once just to kind of get my feet wet to get a basic understanding of what each one can provide.
Mm-hmm.
And as it was with Yahoo 360, you know, when I took an earlier look at it, it seems to be real cut out for people who have invested a lot of time and energy into Yahoo. So all their contacts are in Yahoo.
Right.
You know, and MSN has got a similar thing going on, too. I mean, you've got the whole MSN space, to use that word. You know, with MSN Messenger, I've got buddies in MSN Messenger, but I've also got buddies in Yahoo. And mm-hmm. It seems like ne'er the twain shall meet. And I don't. To me, it just seems that could be quite confusing for somebody who's just getting online. Is that part of, I guess, the hope, or is that more of a marketing question? That once someone comes online, the first thing they see is the first thing they use.
You know, I don't know. I mean, we're on the Spaces team. We're trying to make Spaces the most compelling experience out there as much as we can. Right. So I mean, we want to provide the best tools, whatever those tools are, to our users, and so. It's hard to say. I mean, obviously, integration into MSN Messenger is key for us because a lot of MSN Messenger users, 160 million of them, have a buddy list. And as much as we can leverage and use the buddy list for things like permissions, which we do today on Spaces, the more synergy you drive across the different products and the more the products feel connected to a user. And so I feel the same pain that you feel in terms of having different buddy lists. I mean, I've been a long-time AIM user, as much as I can't stand it, and I use Yahoo IM as well. And so trying to figure out which app to use when is very, very tedious, and I really do hope that problem gets solved, although I don't have any information on that.
Yeah, neither do I. I keep trying to push people's buttons, but it doesn't seem to get me anywhere. Everyone agrees with the frustration, but and then we're kind of left going, okay, now what? So maybe one day.
Exactly.
We'll just have one thing we can all rally around, and everybody will be happy. Well, you know, it's I just assume see people compete much like, you know, I like seeing the way Yahoo 360 is competing with MSN Spaces, and I really put the two in the same kind of category. And I guess I could, to a certain degree, say the same thing for Blogger. You know, these tools that are put out for free to the user community at large. And, mm-hmm. You know, you could use them and you know, at will, literally. I think seeing things like, you know, the Volvo ad now running through MSN Spaces, I think Blogger, or at least through Blogspot, I think you can actually get your own AdSense account and actually make money with your own blog. Is there any direction that MSN is headed in general to empower the monetization of these personal spaces?
There's nothing currently announced, but you know, I think it's a very interesting space that we could potentially be looking at, right? I mean, you see that people really want to share in the success, and I think that's a very natural thing. And we have announced MSN Ad Center, and I think you can see how MSN Ad Center will be used for MSN search advertising and things like that. And you know, maybe in the future we could leverage some of that.
Is Ad Center only for publishers, or is it just specifically for advertisers?
When you say publishers, do you mean...
Okay, when I say publishers, I mean people who
publish the line content. Is kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's for self-serve advertisers.
Okay. That was the one thing that I kind of... I gleaned that bit of knowledge from what I saw. I just want to make... I always try to make sure that I'm not missing anything or missing a step. Sometimes it happens. Well, sometimes you see so many controls, you just don't know where to begin. So you just kind of dive in.
Well, I mean, the one thing you can do in Spaces today, which you know we were very careful to not cut because we think it's really interesting, is the book list and being able to use Amazon associate affiliate IDs or Barnes & Noble IDs or something like that, so that you can talk about books and link to the books on an affiliate service. And we can do the same thing with you know really anything that has a URL that can associate an affiliate ID, so, you know, with it. So that's really something that we really wanted to enable, so that people do feel empowered to do things like that.
And you brought up the fact that you use MyYahoo, and when I was looking at MySpace's page today, I noticed that it had not only an RSS button, but it also had an Add to My MSN button.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the only integration that a space would have within a start page on MSN?
Currently, you can also go to start.com and you can individually add the RSS feeds. Of course, start.com is sort of an unsupported incubation project, but it's also very cool. So you can use either MyMSN or start.com to integrate the RSS feeds.
So yeah, start.com just kind of almost like you said, it's kind of cool. And my question is it on PR and marketing's radar?
You know, it's a good question. I don't know.
Okay, that's a good answer.
I would assume it is at this point.
Dang.
I don't know if it was when it sort of leaked out.
I'm trying to keep it off their radar as much as possible, because it seems as soon as they, I mean, I'm making a blanket statement here, but it seems as soon as the PR marketing team gets involved with something that's really cool, it quickly becomes pretty uncool.
No comment.
Well, I mean, it's okay. I'm not expecting you to comment. So
yeah, I mean, the one thing about start.com that's interesting is they're using MSN Spaces for a changelog. So, and I can't remember what the URL is, but it's in my blog. It's in my blog lines feeds linked from my space. But they're using it as a changelog, and you can see changes, you know, every 48 hours. On new features like OPML support or Firefox support or things like that, and they're really rolling that stuff out quickly.
Wow.
And it's an incredible process.
Wow. Yeah, you know, I don't use a web-based aggregator at this point, primarily because I stay at home all the time, for the most part, all the time. So I haven't had a need to really use anything web-based as of yet. Do you know if... you're starting to, or at least you have any kind of influence with the future of, let's say, the MSN browser or just Internet Explorer?
You ask some funny questions.
I'm known for that.
We meet with a lot of different teams within Microsoft, and so you know the MSN premium client and the Internet Explorer teams, we meet with them every so often and sort of share knowledge and things like that. So I wouldn't say that we have really any influence on direction, but of course, I mean, we do talk to them.
Well, yeah, I'd hope.
yeah.
You know,
although you'd be surprised. I mean, there are a lot of teams at Microsoft that we don't talk to, you know. I mean, it's such a big company.
So are there teams that you would want to talk to or that you think are kind of the next step for Spaces?
Well, I mean, I think there's there's a lot of interesting integration opportunities. Microsoft has an incredible amount of, you know, a lot of assets just internally, and I think you could kind of put two and two together and just imagine some of the cool integration scenarios that you can think of things you'd want to share on your space and things like that. So
it's all about
kind of dodging that one.
No, it's okay. It's all about personal content.
Mm-hmm.
You
dodged
it well.
Really, what we're doing with Spaces, and I think Yahoo 360 really is positioned almost exactly the same way. So it was a little bit of validation for us, which was good. Is that it's really about sharing content with friends and family. And we're not trying to create a platform where people can scream to the world and scream all the things that they like to do to the entire internet at large. Of course, the platform that we've created does support that. But really, what we want to try to do is create these sort of, you know, the long tail approach of not everybody has a million readers, not everybody has 1,000 readers, and so using Spaces to communicate with friends and family in a different way. It's not email. It's not instant messaging. It's this persistent, sort of asynchronous way that you can express yourself. The more we can do that, I think the better off the product will be for that user base.
Now, you haven't always been at Microsoft.
No.
Where were you before?
So I was at a bunch of startup companies before. I founded a company with a couple friends in college, Jump.com. which was acquired by Microsoft in 1999. I had left the company beforehand, and I worked for Trilogy Software in Austin for a while. I worked for BeCandid Software, which was acquired by Software.com, and I worked for a startup called Handshake.com in Los Angeles for a while, and then after that I did some consulting and some kind of messing around for a while before coming to Microsoft.
Now, you moved directly from L.A. to...
Yeah.
Okay, but you're not from L.A.
No, I'm actually from New Jersey.
Oh, wow. I don't hear it in your voice.
Thank you.
So wait, you've worked hard to eliminate...
No, I I had never really thought that I had a strong Jersey accent until I talked to my friends back there. And then I realized that I probably did, because they all do.
Wow.
And I think that's kind of funny.
Well, it's funny because my fiancée, Ponzi, is from the South, and when she starts talking about something from the South or she sees something from the South, like even the other day, we were watching, what was it, the Food Network, and the Southern, what's the name of the Southern? I can't remember the name of the, Laura Dean came on, and suddenly Ponzi just thought she was back home.
And it just comes out.
Yeah, it just came out, and before I knew it, we were eating biscuits and gravy and grits and fried chicken and fried leather britches. I mean, it was just horrible. So it can be damaging, coming from different parts of the country.
Oh, yeah, and I have to say that when I watch The Sopranos, I mean, I feel at home. The way that they speak is kind of exactly how my friends at home speak.
So I'm not even going to try to fake a Jersey accent because I couldn't do it.
Yeah,
very well.
I'm not going to either.
Well, yeah, well, you wouldn't be faking it.
But I'm still not going to do it.
So, no, wait, if you had a choice, and not to, I'm not trying to, again, put you on the spot, but it's an interesting question. Having now lived in Seattle, L.A., the East Coast, where has been your favorite place?
You know, and in between there, I lived in Austin, Texas, and Boulder, Colorado, too. So, I like them all for different reasons. Having said that, I love Seattle. So, I mean, I think when my wife and I got to Seattle, we realized that this place is just incredible, and it's kind of this hidden treasure. The weather is not even close to being as bad as people say, especially in the spring and summer months and in the early fall.
Mike,
and I mean,
no,
there's
it's
water
bad.
Everywhere.
It's bad, everybody. Don't listen to Mike. It's horrible.
I don't know what I'm saying. Forget it.
No, I know.
But I love the little communities. I love that within Seattle itself, there's little communities of pockets of culture, and I think that's just so cool.
Yeah. Speaking of culture, I don't know if you can hear my dog in the background. He's doing his podcast right now. Yeah, no, it's really
called
cool.
Dog friends.
Yeah, no, it's like he's doing a podcast. He asked last week, and since of course he can't type because he doesn't have the fingers and the dexterity. They really don't make keyboards for dogs. You know, we talked about it for a while, and he's kind of depressed. I mean, he wouldn't eat any food or water. And I said, what's wrong? And he explained to me that, he really wanted to express himself on the global stage because he sees that I blog, that Ponzi blogs, that we do all these things. and he really felt left out. And, you know, a couple trips to the psychologist later, and, you know, we finally, you know, say, well, why don't we just set you up on, like, some kind of audio blog or podcast. And so now he's doing it.
Interesting.
Of course.
That's a smart dog you have.
I kid.
So, did he try out MSN Spaces first?
Not yet. Wait, does MSN Spaces have an audio blogging component?
No, we don't right now.
I think, didn't Eric Rice figure out a way to do audio blogs through MSN Spaces?
He did. It was using FeedBurner. It was using a couple different solutions and sort of tying it together at the feed level. It was pretty interesting.
You seen any other MSN Spaces hacks?
Oh, yeah. We've seen a bunch. I've actually linked to a few of them. We have things that turn on, you know, HTML editing. We have things that can play video within your space, things like that. And if you scour, you can find some of these things. And luckily, people do send them to us and say, "Hey, look what I did!" And it's fun. It's kind of the fun part of having this platform is that you see how different people are using it and sort of extending it too.
Are you compiling an official list for some of the advanced Spaces users?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something we really would like to do, which is give the advanced users something to play with. So we're looking at ways to do that.
You haven't released any APIs.
No.
Do you plan on that?
So if you read Dare's blog, and I can send you the URL after the fact. If you read his blog, he's been talking a lot about APIs and sort of the problems that exist in the world of Blogger API and MetaWeblog API and all these, you know, Atom API and so on. But it's absolutely something that we're looking into because we realize that not everybody wants to use a web page to post. And I personally don't. I mean, I've had blogs in the past and I've used BlogJet and WBlogger and things like that. So, I mean, we do want to support that.
Oh, so right now you don't support things like WBlogger, which is
not
what
today.
I use. Okay.
Right.
What about posting by IM?
That's an interesting one. It's also something that I think, could be something we look into. We don't currently do it. We do have buttons in the MSN Messenger client to be taken to your space. We also have buttons in the MSN toolbar so that if you are on a page that you think is interesting, you can blog it. And we also have IE toolbar buttons that you can add to your IE toolbar that do the same thing. So,
oh, really? I didn't know that.
If you go to my space down the right hand side, there's a link to that.
To the add to your to an existing Internet Explorer toolbar.
Yeah.
What about Firefox?
Firefox currently is not supported by that by the button, primarily because of the passport process, and I don't have the specific technical reasons, so I probably shouldn't speak to it. But of course, it's something that has been expressed as a problem to us.
So now, is that something that if someone came out and developed a way to do MSN Spaces things via Firefox, would that be something that would be, I guess, squished or, let's say, depreciated?
I don't think so. I mean, we are not out to hurt Firefox.
No, and I don't mean it from that point of view. I mean, with MSN, you know, obviously, Internet Explorer, the MSN Explorer, MSN Messenger, you have a suite of these Microsoft-based tools, and one of the things that, you know, Firefox is kind of getting around for is not being Internet Explorer.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be curious to know how many... Have you seen more people using Internet Explorer with MSN Spaces than Firefox users?
Oh, yeah. I mean, just in MSN in general, the Internet Explorer penetration is huge. And there's a couple different ways to look at that. I mean, is it accurate? It's hard to tell. But historically, MSN usage has been very, very heavily skewed towards Internet Explorer.
Well, I can only imagine. I mean, with it being in the Microsoft family of things, that it would skew Internet Explorer. Have you seen Firefox, you know, pop up in just kind of odd places at all? Or places
what do you mean?
In places that you would not necessarily have expected. So, for instance, I would think that someone who has an MSN space is probably uses Internet Explorer. But there are apparently a vocal audience who are using Firefox wanting to use MSN spaces.
Mm-hmm. We've definitely seen that. I mean, we've seen a lot of comments and feedback and emails and things like that, that, you know, our Firefox support isn't quite at the level that people would want. And And you know, we're absolutely taking that into consideration. I think, and the one piece that's missing is that we do use an ActiveX control for photo uploads. And so, in order to get that rich experience, you do have to have an ActiveX. You have to have ActiveX enabled. And of course, you can do that through Firefox plugins, but it's not standard Mozilla.
Why not make it like a WebDAV type of thing, or like in a web DAV?
Right.
Or like what Flickr does. I mean, not only, and I'm using this as an example because it works. They have a third party had developed this tool, but then someone had also created a way. It's like, you know, the wizard, like a printing wizard. When you step through it, you can do it in different places. You've now also have like a photo publishing tool. They have it built right in there in the Windows Explorer, so you don't have to install anything. It's like a registry entry. Is there any chance of doing something, or does that work now?
It doesn't work now. We do have that support for MSN Groups, which you've probably seen in you know, Windows XP Web Publishing Wizard. But we don't have that support for MSN Spaces, but it's obviously something that's been expressed to us.
Well, I'd hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, from the people who've used that kind of, I guess, feature or function before, it's just easy. The less software you have to worry about, usually the happier you are.
Right.
Anybody using Spaces for something just kind of off the wall that you would never have expected?
Well, I think one of the great things about Spaces is that even though in kind of the blogging world it's positioned as a newbie blogging tool, it doesn't have to be. I mean, you can manipulate your space and move things around and change the theme and make it what you want to make it. So we've seen a lot of people using the photo album to document certain things or to show a sequence of things, you know, maybe like a cartoon, having the photo album in the middle as sort of the central point, not even having a blog, just getting rid of the blog completely and just making it a photo album space. You can also do the same thing with list items. So if you wanted to have a space that just listed a bunch of stuff, you could do that too. And so really, I mean, the Spaces, the sort of small Spaces community that's building up, it's been fun to watch because people do use their space in very different ways. And people just find these fun different ways to manipulate the modules and put things how they want them. And so that's been fun.
Has there been any overtaking by certain cultures or, I guess, societies yet? Let me put a finer point on it.
Yeah.
Orkut, a social networking tool developed by someone who works at Google, was overtaken by Brazilians. So Orkut is pretty much great if you're Brazilian. I mean, that's who's using it at this point. It's overwhelmingly Brazilian. Has there been any similar, a proliferation?
We're a very, very global product, and you know, we're in 30 different international markets, and I think 15 different languages. So, just that alone, that kind of scale, it's mind blowing in a lot of ways. But you know, we do track different usage per market, but I don't have specifics. You can imagine that certain markets are more heavily invested in MSN Spaces, and you know, we had the Japan trial that went out before our beta. The trial went out in the summer, and so we think, you know, in Japan there's a lot of good usage of Spaces.
Oh, I guess I'm not from Japan, nor have I ever been. So apparently there are a lot of MSN Spaces that are in Japanese.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we released our trial there before our beta, and we had moblogging support, so publishing, you know, from your camera phone and things like that. And,
actually,
and it was pretty much instantly popular. So
yeah, I think I remember that. Now that you bring it up again, I think I remember.
There was very little press or hoopla, but of course, you know, the standard FUD of Microsoft trying to take over blogging did start springing up. So.
Oh boy! So has that gotten better or worse?
I think it's actually gotten better. I mean, it's hard to say. I think people see that we're human beings and that we actually do want to make great products and that we are part of the community and we're not sort of on the periphery. We didn't just release a product and disappear back into our hole. You know, we're here. We're listening. We're paying attention. We're incredibly invested in this thing, and we want to make the best product we can. So it's... I think people who know that respect that, even if they don't like Spaces or they don't use Spaces. So I think it becomes a lot harder for people to to badmouth something that, you know, that they have some respect for. And it might not be the kind of respect, the level of respect that we'd hope to get, but if there's some respect, that's always better than nothing. And it's tough because I'm also a Yankee fan, right? So being a Yankee fan is difficult because you get the same kind of stuff where everybody wants you to lose. But there's such history and such tradition and such pride in that, and so it's tough to deal with. But at the same time, you know, you have to be a good sportsman, and you know, we're part of the community just like the Yankees are. So we're just trying to do our best here.
Has there been any instances where you've had to shut down a blog?
Yeah, we have a code of conduct, and people, especially at MSN scale, are going to abuse the system, and we don't really stand for it. You know, we have policies in place, and if you're using spaces for pornography or for anything relating to child pornography or anything like that, sorry, you know, you're not going to last on spaces.
Now, is that then tied back to a user's Passport account, or are they able to then sign up for a space at some point in the future with the same credentials?
It's a good question. I actually don't even know the answer to it.
Okay. It was just, you know, I was curious just because it would seem to be that it would be smart to tie it back to the Passport. Although my experience with Passport has been kind of odd. Although I'm very happy about Passport no longer being tied into eBay, not like this is related to spaces at all. But I ended up getting one piece of negative feedback, and I'm like, oh, dude, and I don't do a lot of transactions. The only time I really use eBay is when a new series of Garbage Pail Kids comes out, and the next new series 4 is out April 27th, and this will be my first purchase on a different account because my old one was tied to Passport. And I had, like, I don't know, like 5 or 6 transactions on there, and then one of them was negative feedback. And, of course, like, you know, since I don't do volume, then I'm like, oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
And then it went away. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So I'm probably about the only person on the planet who's actually happy that Passport is no longer tied in to eBay services for that very reason.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't even remember my eBay login for that reason because I've been using Passport for so long.
Yeah. So you've had a Switch as well.
Yeah, but I haven't used eBay since that happened, but I will probably be very confused when I do.
Are you an active eBayer?
No, not at all. Yeah. I go on there to search for old Bruce Lee, you know, memorabilia and random stuff every once in a while, and every once in a while I also sell some stuff on there, so I think I have about 15 to 20 reviews, you know, reputation.
Is there
something like that?
Is there any possibility that spaces would have that kind of component? Not necessarily an auction, but just, you know, things that you're trying to sell or get rid of. I mean,
right. In some ways you can do that today. We don't facilitate the transaction, but we do have these flexible lists which you can insert items into. And of course, you know, they syndicate in RSS and things like that. So you can, in ways, do that and keep a running sort of list of things that you're selling or things that you're interested in buying and provide search on top of that. So in some ways you can do it. It's not entirely intuitive. It would be pretty interesting if it were.
Yeah, it'd be very interesting. I mean, it would almost be almost a completely new market or another opportunity to find the things you're looking for. So living in Seattle, do you use Craigslist a lot?
No, I don't.
Oh, you don't?
I just don't have a need for it.
So you don't do a lot of buying and selling?
Not really.
You're just a boring old guy.
I buy and sell gadgets, and I usually just do that through eBay.
Oh, so eBay
or through friends.
Yeah.
I mean, you're on my MSN Messenger list. You probably see every once in a while I'll say selling a TiVo or something like that.
So actually, I don't think I've caught that.
I actually just sold one today. So
a TiVo.
Yeah.
So are you getting rid of the TiVo for a reason?
Well, I got the Comcast HD Microsoft powered device.
Yes,
so.
I have a couple of those as well. What do you think?
It's not quite as much fun as the TiVo.
Yeah, it's version 1.0.
Yeah, exactly. But it also has things like on demand, which is phenomenal. Yeah. And it has HD recording, which is really the whole reason I got it, so I can put up with some of the quirks.
So you're big into the HD TV thing?
I am now. I wasn't 3 weeks ago, but I have been converted.
Is that the reason why then, the overwhelming reason that you moved away from TiVo?
Yeah.
Are you then, were you a digital cable subscriber before?
I was for a little while. My apartment complex had to deal with Millennium Cable, so I had to use Millennium Cable, and since I've moved to Comcast, which is much better, and I can actually watch Yankee games, which is phenomenal. So.
Oh, so you have the sports package.
Yeah.
See, that's
and as a Microsoft employee, you get all sorts of great discounts, too. So I get, you know, HBO and all that cool stuff. So
lucky dog.
The Windows Media Stream for the live broadcast of The Chris Perillo Show is provided by Limelight Networks. Listen to the live Chris Perillo Show in Windows Media Player. Download the latest version of the player for Mac and Windows users at Microsoft.com/Windows Media.